Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, October 15th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 53, paragraph 1, in We Agnostics. It begins with, logic is great stuff, and ends with, we don't know. Today's readers are Mary P. for the 12 steps, Leland P. for the 12 traditions, Alex K. will be our first reader, and hopefully our second reader will be checking in soon, Sherry Z. And we're going to close the meeting with a newcomer greeting, so you can leave your number with Diane B., and Shelley E. will close us out with some final announcements. Thank you all for your beautiful service. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I will now ask Leland P. to please read the 12th for us. Star 1 to unmute, Leland. Leland. Leland P. Okay.
Let's Elaine, see. This is Mary P. I can read them if you want. I've got them right here.
Fabulous. Please go ahead. Thank you very much, Mary P.
Sure. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. Really appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 53, paragraph 1. And I will now ask Alice Kay to please begin reading.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex Kay in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. That is one of man's magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubt and we said, we don't know. I like that phrase, agnostically inclined, and I was thinking I was beyond that because I didn't say, I don't know. I said, I know there's no such thing as God or higher power. Those who believe that believe what's not true. That was my thinking. I couldn't understand how anyone could believe in something they couldn't see. And I remember in college debating with a friend who was very religious about the existence of God. And I was a science major, and I was looking for a reasonable explanation, some evidence she could present to prove her point. And then lacking that, as I knew she was in my mind, I thought I'd won the debate. Now I see how close-minded and judgmental I was, and I've learned that faith isn't something one can measure or prove or disprove. If someone has faith in God or a higher power that helps them, that's a good thing. And that's their business, and only they can say what's true for them. And surprise, surprise, today I not only believe in my higher power, this loving, compassionate, spiritual presence always with me, but I have a strong, unshakable faith in my higher power and the program, because I've seen it work. I've seen miracles of transformation in my life that I know I couldn't have brought about myself. And this is reasonable to me because it makes my life better. It's much more dependable than food. It's not self-destructive. It's life-enhancing. I see my higher power, but I feel my higher power's unconditional love and guidance and encouragement every day. I've heard it said, I came to believe, I came to know, and I do know today without a doubt that my higher power is right here with me each moment, no matter what, and that's a wonderful gift. I'm so grateful. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex Kay. You're a great lead. Thank you very much. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you didn't share on Monday or last Friday, we'd love to hear from you, your comments on page 53, paragraph 1. So who would like to comment on what was read? Star 1 to unmute.
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G.
Deb E. in Israel.
Deb E. in Israel. Well, let's start with the two of you, and we'll take it from there. So, Vanessa G., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody who makes this meeting possible. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And logic is great stuff. And it wasn't logical to me when I was reaching the end of my senior year in high school and sitting in a comparative religions class that there should be so many competing ideas of God. And so my mind logically at that point decided, very uninformed that I was, that there could be no God because there were so many different versions and it had to have been a construct of man's mind. And I lived that way for over a decade. And I made a mess of my life and ended up totally devastated and needing an answer. And when I got to that point and I got into another 12-step program and walked in and listened to everyone demonstrating and explaining that a power greater than themselves had brought them to sanity and had relieved their problems, I had to make a decision at that point. Was it logical even at that point to make a decision? It was, because it was reasonable to assume that these people, based on the stories they were telling me, were just like me, and that they were able to live in a different way without being in complete prison, in complete, how do I put this, in complete, as complete subjects of, you know, a king that wasn't a god, it was just a substance. And so I made that decision and found that I could live differently. But as the years went on and I became a compulsive leader and or I was a compulsive overeater, and my disease progressed, I came to another place. And when I came to that place, and I had been going to OA meetings for years and listening to other people talk about how, you know, they had come to OA, but I didn't see the demonstration in their lives that I had seen in that first program. And it wasn't, you know, I hate to say this, but it wasn't until I came to this meeting. Thank you. It wasn't until I came to this meeting and really heard the recovery and the voices and understood that here I had found an answer, that I was able to let go again and renew my faith. Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to have shared.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. Deb E. is up next, and then we're going to take another lineup on page 53, paragraph 1. Thanks so much, Deb E.
Hi, thank you. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I really like logic. I like things that make sense. I like figuring things out. I like things that fit together. And that's what my brain tries to do. It tries to make sense of everything. It wants things to go in a certain order and by a certain way. And that's not how faith works for me, and it's not how my intuition works. And like the main way at this point, for years, I drove myself crazy trying to understand, like, how can I figure out what my will is and what my higher power will is. And the best thing that I've come up with so far that helps me is that usually when it's my intuition and my higher power guiding me, it's not that it defies logic, but it's usually not logical. It's not usually the stuff that makes sense. And then I can tell when my brain is like yelling at me, like, no, 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 you have to do it this way. But in my heart, I feel like it's the other way. It's the stuff that sounds crazy and the stuff that's not logical. It's usually my higher power's will. And that steers me in the right direction. And just about like this, all this agnostic stuff for years, I really felt like this chapter didn't apply to me because I came to program believing that there was a higher power. I didn't really have any struggles with that or issues with it. And it wasn't until someone pointed out to me like that if I was limiting my higher power, that I was being agnostic. I was still being agnostic. Even if I believed that there was a higher power, if I didn't believe that that higher power could help me with everything, if I was limiting that power, then that in a way was also being agnostic. And I just wrap up with like those last three words of the paragraph, we don't know. I really like saying, I don't know. You know, for years before program, those were like some of the worst words to say, like, I've got to know everything. I'm like, what will I seem like? Or how can I, you know, live my life if I don't know? I need to know. And there's such relief, and there's so much like just like surrender and acceptance and saying, I don't know. And so I like that I can say that today, that there are a lot of things I still don't know, and there are some things I'll never know. And that's okay, because all I need to do is get my guidance from my higher power. I don't need to know everything. It's impossible for me to know everything. And that will lead me the right way. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. Okay, so we're commenting on page 53, paragraph 1. It starts with logic is great stuff and ends with we didn't know. We'd love to take a lineup if you haven't shared in the last couple of days. Please press star 1 to unmute. And we'll take
Rachel
a lineup.
L.
Rachel L.
Jesse O.
Jesse O.
Janice H.
Janice H. Anybody else like to get in this lineup? Okay. Rachel L., please share with us. You're followed by Bessie O.
Hi, Rachel, compulsive overeater from San Diego, California.
I would always sit there and tell myself, what is God's will? What is God's will? And I never understood, you know, what path I was supposed to go down or what I was supposed to be doing. And finally someone told me, you know, it's God's will, Rachel, when it goes smoothly, when you're not fighting against it, when you're not hitting that brick wall, when everything finally just, when all the pieces line up perfectly, when, you know, when it's just going according to their plan, when it's going to your higher power's plan, that's when it's God's will. And I went, wow. You know, when you're having to force it and you're shoving those puzzle pieces together and they're not fitting, that's not God's will. That's your will. You're trying to make it work, you know. And I was just like, wow, okay. You know, when you're having to super glue things together to force them to fit, that's not God's will, you know. But when they're fitting like butter, that's God's will. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Rachel L. Bessie O., you're up next, followed by Janice H.
Thank you. Good morning, Bessie O. from Colorado. Hence, we are at pains to tell you why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy. So this just reminds me of, you know, of step two, what does it mean, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And, you know, I am a compulsive overeater. And so, you know, my present faith, you know, and logic, and I think of data, you know, and science, and how time and time again, if I take control and say, I've got this, I can manage this, the result is always the same. That's just logic, you know, that every single time, if I compulsively eat, I'm going to end up in the same place. And it's just, all I have to do is look at my own eating career or talk to someone who is in the disease, you know, and hear what it sounds like, just that mushy thinking that, oh, I can control a little bit, or I don't really know about this. You know, we have our stories. We just have so much data and evidence piling up that faith in my strength, my thinking, my ideas, where does that faith in the God of my understanding and surrender, like I absolutely surrender. I can't do this. I know you can. So I'm feeling a little scattered, except that I just feel that so deeply this morning, you know, like I'm so grateful for this meeting and just the opportunity to really meditate on what am I putting my faith in today? And what do I have, like, so much data telling me that it doesn't work, you know, and where can I surrender today? And you know, I surrender the food, absolutely. I surrender the food, and look what I get in exchange for that. It's just, I on my own don't know, and where can I extend that into all these other areas of my life? So I'm going to pass with that. Thanks for leading.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Really appreciate it, Bessie L. Janice H. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup. Star 1 to unmute, Janice.
Janice H., recovering compulsive overeater in California. And thank you for the meeting. Thanks for the reading, and thanks everyone to Alma Wine. I'm really grateful to be here this morning and to hear that message. What I get out of this chapter and that paragraph is that it's actually speaking to people who had a higher power, a belief system as children, and then, you know, outgrew it or gave it up. And that's kind of, you know, where I came from, you know, and I've done that a few times, given up a few different belief systems. And, you know, I'm just like recently coming back to vision. And what I find is that, you know, when I've left and come back, it's like, I need to upgrade my higher power. It's like the reason why I left is because the God I had wasn't big enough, you know, for what was going on in my life at the time. And also that I try to take my will back. I try to, you know, solve these problems that get handed to me instead of just praying to, you know, get out of the way and, you know, just be a vessel and let that force work through me. You know, I don't have to be the CEO of my life today. I can give that over to somebody else and just, you know, do the footwork. And I have a food plan today and a sponsor, and I just need to follow along with that and not try to negotiate, you know, which is what my ego wants to do. So thanks for the reading, and I hope that I can bring that into my day and my life for the rest of the week or the day. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice H. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we'd love to hear anybody who would like to comment on page 53, paragraph 1, which begins with "Logic is great stuff" and ends with "We don't know." So if you'd like to share,
Susan B. from Georgia.
Susan, was that Susan B?
P like in Peter.
Oh, P. Okay, Susan P.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Larry G.
Larry G. Somebody came in with Larry.
Marilyn S.
Marilyn S. Anybody else? Let me tell you who I've got. Susan P., Frey H., Larry G., and Marilyn S. Did I miss anybody? Okay. Please share with us, Susan P. You'll be followed by Freya H. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for letting me share, and thank you for your service. I personally find it really illogical not to believe in God. I once heard, and it's been a while because 707 planes don't fly anymore, but believing that the universe happened by accident is like throwing all the parts of a 707 up in the air and having them come down as a finished plane. That image always stuck with me. The second proof to me of God is that for thousands of years, people have anguished over being alcoholics and having other addictions. And now, since the 12 steps, millions of people have found recovery. And to me, that's God. I feel like we're like the blind man and the elephant. You know, we only see a little part of the picture. And in my belief system, I believe that God has a long-term plan, and trust me, I don't always like it. And even though I know it's egotistical of me to question God, I do question God when terrible things happen. But the last proof of God for me is that, you know, I have over three months of abstinence, and I'm feel like I'm really in the path of recovery. And to me, that's a miracle, and I'm very grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Susan P. Freya H., you're up next, followed by Larry G.
Good morning. This is Freya H. I'm in Colorado. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive eater bulimic restrictor. Thanks, everybody, for the great shares, and thank you to those doing service today. This is such an interesting paragraph that looking at logic and relying on my mind, and that this paragraph is saying, hey, that's not a bad thing. However, I, as an addict, I can't differentiate the true from the false. And I really become convinced that my limited, blinder view of the world is the only view. My thinking becomes distorted by my self-centeredness, really. I see the world as, how's it going to impact me? And I become absolutely convinced that, this person is the problem or this situation should be different. And I come at it from a perspective where I'm fighting reality, and it just doesn't make sense. So I can't rely on, my feelings necessarily or my logic when there's really strong feelings behind it. Because I'm motivated by fear. That's what's behind it. And that is just going to distort my whole view. So when I can take those strong feelings into inventory and really that helps me to get a better perspective, then I can actually start to see clearly. Like I really feel, after I do a 10th step, I feel like I've been given a new pair of glasses, and suddenly what I was so convinced about, I was like, this is the absolute truth. I'm doomed. This person is the problem. I can laugh at that stuff. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I believe that stuff. So with God's help, I love this idea that I can be restored to sanity. I can be restored to logic and that I can rely on my thinking. That's a promise. We come to rely upon this intuitive thought. And I really love what I've heard about, when it comes to determining, what is God's will for me, it's usually not the thing that makes sense that I've figured out. I try to figure things out. It's just that internal intuitive knowing or that nudge or that little voice that's like, do this, just trust me, just go do this. And when I hear people share those stories, it helps me to recognize, oh yeah, I've had those experiences too. So yes, I can use my logic, but I have to put God first. So just have to be willing to try it. And I love, is it more sane and logical to believe in God or to believe in my own distorted thinking? So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Perfect. Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Freya H. Okay, Larry G., you're up next, followed by Marilyn S.
Larry G. from Northern California. So many great shares, and thank you, Alex, for kicking us off. What I love about 12-step the most is that nobody is going to sell you on their brand of God. Everybody's welcome. No matter what religious faith you are practicing, you're welcome. Whether you're atheist, agnostic, or you're a believer, you're welcome. And nobody's going to sell you a certain brand of God. And what I loved when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous 43 years ago, there wasn't posters of iconic religious people on the wall. I thought I was coming into an organization like that, but I was shocked to hear that, Larry, you can come up with your own understanding of a higher power. And I love that about 12-step program. And I think the reason I had so much problem and my observation why others have so much problem with the God is that we don't want to give up our addiction. I didn't want to give up compulsive eating. I didn't want to give up volume. I didn't want to give up these little innocuous muffins that would lead me to the bigger stuff. Now, when I came into Vision for You, yes, I let go of all that because I no longer could white knuckle it. And I believe that food and alcohol is a great persuader. I was beaten into submission. But what about this year? Prior to June, I wasn't willing to text my food each day. I wasn't willing to have you suggest on how I might eat differently. And I certainly wasn't going to give it up to God. That was just back in June of this year. And I met somebody and I, first person in my life that I actually have allowed them to to look at my food choices during the day and help me to make healthier choices. That's nothing short of a miracle. And so is with God. There's a great quote in the Big Book. It says, when we became alcoholics, crushed by self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fiercely face the proposition that God is either everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? And I love this about our program that's based on the first 100 pioneers, and we are studying the Big Book each day because the Big Book is black and white. There is no gray areas. So it's either or, and Larry today chooses to believe in a God, a power greater than himself. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Marilyn S. is up next, and then we're going to take a few more shares on people who'd like to comment on page 53, paragraph 1. Please share with us, Marilyn.
Good morning. I'm Marilyn from California. And what logic does for me is it gives me a sense of power and control. I can understand it, and I can manipulate it. And yes, 1 + 1 = 2, and that's logical. But what also comes to mind is 1 + 1 = 3 when two people have a baby, or 1 + 1 = 1, or there's so many things that don't make sense that make sense. And control makes me feel safe. And that's been a recurring theme in my whole life and in my recovery, is safety. And I know that when I try to control, I am trying to keep myself safe. And I can do that to some degree, like, you know, I can control how close to the edge of the cliff I go. There are some things that I have no control over in keeping myself safe. And one of them is myself and my food. I'm an abstaining compulsive overeater who has gained weight. That's really about a lot of control, because I want to control my abstinence. It's uncomfortable. And I talk to my sponsor, and we talk about different things. But the reality of it is that I can't do any of this. I couldn't figure it out. I've never logicked it out. If somebody asked me, how do I lose weight? Well, I could tell you how to eat inappropriately and unhealthy and lose some weight, but that's not logical. I think the cunning, baffling, and powerful, I think logic is a part of that. It's one of the tools of cunning, baffling, and powerful, because it looks really nice and I get to control it, you know. So I'm just going to wish everybody a beautiful day and say thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Marilyn S. Thank you so much. Hope you have a beautiful day as well. So though we value your experience, we do ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you would like to comment, we have time for about 3 more shares.
Leland P.
Leland P.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. And last call, final spot. Okay. We'll come back for it. Leland P., please share with us. Glad you're here.
Hi. Yes, I'm back. This is Leland, recovering compulsive overeater in Germany. I want to thank you, Elaine, and thank you, Mary, for stepping up and reading the traditions. I suddenly lost access to my keypad for my international calling app. So I really appreciate that. And thanks also for all the shares. You know, I don't the whole question of a higher power, I don't take that to my logic brain. I'm going to lose. Maybe if I, once I've been in a program longer, but I won't lose. But I just, that's not where I go. I just, you know, my faith in God, just, it comes from my heart, if you want to say. It comes from me listening to all of you and wanting what you have. Not just wanting abstinence, but wanting to be able to show up and not be subsumed by my fear and my resentment, which are just enormous. And then just stop me in my tracks, and wanting to have a chance at being able to have a life where I am of service and not stuck in my self-centeredness, which is often, again, just fear. Lately, I've been doing two-way prayer. Well, I'm very new to two-way prayer, and it's very exciting. And I feel like when I'm praying that way, I reach the deepest part of myself, and I feel the love of a higher power, and I didn't. I was got into program 30 years ago, and I was doing a lot of prayer, but I don't think I ever really, I ever reached a higher power in the way I'm able to reach it now. And then the guidance I get is very simple. I'm so overwhelmed right now about family situation. My father's dementia. My mother is near death. My brother is in a cult. It's very big. And I was praying yesterday and praying and praying and just feeling like I couldn't even breathe from it. And then just feeling a higher power come in and saying, yeah, I've got this. This is too big for you. Of course you can't carry this. I got this. And I'm just going to show you what your next right step is, like what your tiny next right step is. And it's like, oh, okay, good. And to me, that's a revelation. I don't need anyone to believe in God or not believe in God. Just whatever works for you. And this is working for me. This works for me. And I'm so grateful to be in these rooms. Thank you. And hear all of your experience and be able to gain from you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lillian G. Joan Marie M., please share with us.
Good morning. Well, what beautiful shares as usual. What I got from this is that, how do you explain the unexplainable? How do you explain the supernatural called miracles, called God? I can't. I just know, what someone said, I just know internally that I know. And also by the miracles that I am free, Joan Marie M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Nevada, by the grace and power of God. I can't take the credit for that. But I did have to do certain things, and I still have to do certain things. But it says it all through. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We have entered into the realm of the spirit. Now it's time to grow in that. So wherever you're at, it's just keep on growing. And I have to open up our hearts to receive this grace, this power that's beyond any explanation. And I'm just so grateful for being on this line, finding vision, and really working the steps and then living the steps day by day, moment by moment. My life sometimes gets very lifey, and there's a situation in my life right now with my son that I'm believing for a miracle for him and his health. And that's how my God works. So I have a lot of peace about that, where I would have been wringing my fingers and upset and calling everybody. I mean, I did call for prayer from different people that I know pray, but it's peaceful. And for the most part, I'm very satisfied, where before I could never get satisfied. And food, I was never satisfied. There was never enough, never enough. So today I can say that I am happy, I am joyous, and I am free. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Joan Marie M., and everybody that shared. We have time for a two-minute share if anybody would like to take it. We'd love to hear your
Jackie
thoughts.
Jackie D.
Go
in
for
Georgia.
It. All yours. Please share with us, Jackie.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jackie. I am a compulsive overeater living in Georgia. Thank you all for being here for me this morning. Thank you for being here for me every single morning. Logically, I came into this program and I heard all of you guys. Well, let me start all over. I came into this program and I heard everybody talk about believing in a higher power. And logically, I just could not believe that just believing in a God who is my higher power will help me stop compulsively overeating. But I listened. I listened to everything that you all had to say. I listened to all of your shares. I listened to your prayers. I listened to the fact that you do pray to a God, and I started believing. I started believing when I was able to put the food down, when I was able to stop eating all the sugar that I was doing. I was able to stop eating all the chips and all the other stuff I was doing. I believe that the higher power, my God, is able to do the things for me that is outlined here in the big book. So my logic came to become my belief. And because of that belief, I am who I am, where I am, and believe in a power greater than myself to be able to help me deal not only with my food, but with life. When life does get lifey and when situations become out of control, I know that I have prayer, and I am so grateful for that prayer. I'm so grateful to be able to come in here and to share my higher power is a good higher power, and my God is great. So thank you all for listening to me. Thank you for letting me share, and I hope you all have a wonderful, beautiful day. And thank you for your service.
Thank you to Jackie D. Thank you very, very much. Okay. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read from the Big Book on page 164. I'm sorry. Please read a vision for
absolutely
you. Absolutely
no problem.
What happens when you take your eye, when you take your eye off the script? Okay.
Thank you. No problem. Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.